Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The gospel of Christ simply means the good news about Jesus, his death on the cross that makes our forgiveness possible. Today, more on how we can make the good news of the gospel known to those whose eternities depend on believing it. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on what we believe and the difference it should make. Last time, we learned about the glories of the gospel. Now, it's time to get practical.
What do we say about the grace that saves? First of all, grace, as you know, is God's undeserved favor. He's giving us what we don't deserve out of the abundance of his mercy. That's what grace is. And first of all, it's obvious. It has to be a free gift. It has to be a free gift. Jesus couldn't come to Lazarus and say, "Now, Lazarus, I'm willing to raise you, but, you know, I need something from you first. I mean, Lazarus, at least wiggle a finger. Give me something, and then I'll do it for you." No. It has to be his sovereign choice and his gift. There is no other way that it could be. Because in the process of trusting Christ, what happens is we receive the righteousness of God, which is not human righteousness, added to a higher power. It's an entirely different kind of righteousness. So the only way in which you and I can receive it is simply as a gift. Paul says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Could it be any clearer in the text? What else do we say about this grace? It is apart from works. Notice the text says, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works." All the works done by human beings, all the good works added together from all of the past ages will never change God's mind regarding a single sinner, because, as I emphasized, all of our works are tainted. Our natures are basically corrupt, even though they can do good things, and it cannot be by works. Paul says in Romans chapter 11, 6, he says, if it's by grace, he says, it is not of works. If it's of works, he says, it's not of grace. You cannot take saving grace and mix it with works and understand the gospel. So the good news is that it is a free gift. It is apart from works. What happened is this. God says, in order to save people, I have to clear the decks. I have to clear the decks. I have to make it sure that no human goodness is involved in the salvation process. If there had been some goodness in us that God could use, if there had been something within us that matched the holiness of God, God would have had to acknowledge it and to use it. But rather, the Bible says, all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. We all are short of it. So God says, in order to do my own thing, I have to make it very, very clear that human works can have no part of the salvation process, that I must raise the dead, and it must not be of works, lest any man boast. Lest any man boast. A number of years ago, I was speaking at a breakfast in Detroit. I preached the gospel, and afterwards, the cleric who closed in prayer said this, "Oh God, we pray that we may live in such a way that when we stand before you, we will be proud of all of our accomplishments." God only knows his heart, but I do not believe that that man understands the gospel, nor was he born again. Can you imagine that? We're going to stand before God and be proud of all of our accomplishments. Stand before God. We'll be on our faces with nothing to present. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. That's the understanding of the gospel. And yes, you may clap. And the good news is that because it's grace, it is unaffected by the degree of your sin. I pointed out last time that when you have two corpses, one isn't more dead than the other. Does Jesus say, well, you know, I was able to raise Lazarus because he was dead only 4 days, but my, if he had been dead for 2 weeks, there's no way I could have done that. No. This is God's work. And it is not affected by the degree of your sin. God can save big sinners. Some of you, if the truth really were known, you know, if we knew your past and if we know what all you've done, you may have done some very terrible things, criminal things. You say, is God able to save me? Yes, of course God's able to save you, because salvation is God's work and it is not hindered by your sin. If God speaks to you and you savingly believe, the greatest of sinners, we sometimes sing, the vilest of sinners who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. The Sears Tower is taller than the LaSalle National Bank. We could have some young engineers do some research and tell us about how many feet one is and how many yards or whatever, and one is taller than the other. But if you stop comparing them between themselves and begin to compare them from the distance of the farthest star, you say, hey, you know, there isn't that much difference between them. We as humans are different. Some are better than others. But once we begin to compare ourselves with God, we all fall short. And God comes along and speaks the word and grants us life. And he is not limited by your past. Now, notice it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Through faith. That is the sole requirement, is faith. You say, well, what does faith involve? Faith involves three things. First of all, knowledge. Did the people whom Jesus Christ rejected, that he predicted he would reject, the folks who cast out demons in his name and did all these marvelous works, did they have knowledge? You bet they had knowledge. They may have been on television with open Bibles. They may have been brought up in church. Of course they had knowledge. The second part is that you need assent. Assent is an intellectual conviction that the facts of the gospel are true. It is true that Jesus died for sinners. It is true that he was raised from the dead. And you have assent to these, and you believe they happened. Did these folks have assent? I would think they would. I don't believe that they'd have been casting out demons, doing all kinds of miracles, and by the way, we're not sure in whose power they were actually doing it. They may have used the name of Jesus, and yet because of their doctrinal error, demons might have cooperated and make it look as if they were being cast out. We're not sure. But they would have had assent to the facts. What was missing? Why were they turned away from the heavenly gates? Because faith involves something else. And that is trust. It involves a transfer of trust to Christ. And when it involves that transfer of Christ, it is not my faith in Jesus plus, in case Jesus isn't good enough, I've got something in my back pocket to add to it. The founder of one of America's great seminaries who understood grace said this, that he wants to trust Jesus Christ so completely and so totally that if he gets to heaven and discovers that faith in Jesus alone is not the way of salvation, that you need something else, and to have believed something else, he said that he will be turned away and be damned forever. That's the kind of faith that saves, the transfer of trust to Christ. That's grace. Now, grace is difficult to accept. You'd think that after this exposition that everybody would believe, that those listening on the internet and on the radio, they'd all say, let me stop the car wherever I am, wherever I'm listening to this. Right now, I'm going to transfer my trust to Jesus. But it's difficult for two categories of people. First, it's difficult for those who have sinned greatly because they say to themselves, I am so unworthy. I am so defiled because of my sin. There's no way God would accept me. Well, I hope I answered your question by pointing out that the real issue isn't the degree of your sin. And then there's another category. They are even more difficult to deal with. They are the ones who really, really struggle against grace and don't receive it, and that is the goody two-shoes people. The people who work in social work and who devote their time and their energy. The people who want to better the world. The people who are basically fundamental, honest, decent people, many of them attending churches. They struggle against grace greatly because you mean to say that I am that bad off? Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I want you to know today that grace is indeed amazing. Chicago is a city here, of course, where we minister, and if you were to go into the churches of Chicago on a Sunday, you'd find that many churches say that Jesus Christ is necessary for salvation. That seems to be standard doctrine. Unfortunately, what you might not find is pastors and priests who are willing to say that Jesus is not only necessary, Jesus alone is enough. And I want to say to you today that Jesus alone is enough. Oh, I know it's important to believe that we have been saved by grace through faith as a gift and that results in good deeds, but the good deeds themselves do not save us. They are the outworking of the salvation that the Lord has given us. For you today who lack assurance of salvation, you wonder whether or not you will go to heaven when you die and you struggle. Can I help you to see today that trust in Jesus is sufficient because he is enough? Well, at the end of this broadcast, you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours. I hope that you take advantage of that, because it might be important for you to listen to them again and then share them with your friends, because not all of your friends understand and believe the gospel. God bless you. See you right here next time.
Erwin Lutzer with more about the gospel we proclaim. Another message in a 10-part series on what we believe. Next time on Running to Win, why no one can do anything to merit the free gift of God's salvation. Erwin Lutzer's book, 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible, can be yours as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.